Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Monday, December the 8th, and today we're going to be talking about our illustrious dear leader, President Obama, and some remarks he made in an interview talking about America and racism. Let's take a listen.
When you're dealing with something as deeply rooted as racism or bias in any society, you got to have vigilance, but you have to recognize that it's going to take some time and you just have to be steady.
So the president seems to be indicating here that he sees America as a racist country, or that at least that racism is deeply rooted in the United States. That would assume that that many of the countries around the world aren't racist. Of course, the United States has a unique history in that we are a melting pot, and we've always been a melting pot, and now the European countries are beginning to become more melting pots themselves. They're dealing with the issues of immigration that they have, with a lot of people from the Middle East coming into a lot of these Scandinavian countries. They come in because they can get in easily and get welfare benefits, quite a bit of them. And so here in the United States, you know, we've always had immigration and we've always had groups mixing, and we've had racism in the United States for a long time. And you can't argue with the president about that. That is true. You know, it used to be that the Irish were the blacks. You know, it used to be that Irish were treated the same way blacks were treated for a long time. And it used to be that Jewish people were treated that way. We've always had a racism, not just by whites against other cultures, but, Irish people being white themselves, but just we've had cultural racism in a sense. And it's really just that fear of the other that I think is what we're talking about here. Everybody kind of has this fear of the other. But when we talk about it in the context of Ferguson, or when we talk about it in the context of Eric Garner, we're talking about a very specific problem here. We're talking about police violence and abuse, which as a libertarian, I think everybody ought to be concerned about. However, we need to take a look at some numbers here that I think are interesting before we can have a discussion about this, knowing that, remember, that some numbers can sometimes be deceptive, so I'll try and give you the best breakdown of these numbers that I can to give you the most honest picture of what we're talking about when we're talking about violence and we're talking about race in the United States. So among these findings that I put together, I found that police killings of blacks are down 70% in the last 50 years. Okay, so from the 1960s and 70s to today, police killings of blacks are way down. Now, if you look at 2012, then you'd find that 123 blacks were killed by police with a gun. Now, in that same year, 326 whites were killed with a gun. Now, that sounds like a big disparity. More whites are being killed by blacks, right? But here's the thing. Whites are 63% of the population, while blacks are only 13%. So it makes sense that there would be way more white people being killed with a gun in 2012. But listen to this. In 2013, blacks committed 5,375 murders. And in the same year, whites committed 4,396 murders. So the issue is in how we view the total population. You know, blacks are a much smaller population, so adjusting for population size, they're killed approximately twice as much as whites, but they also commit approximately twice as many murders on average. So again, this is adjusted for the population. So it seems as we got a twofold problem to address here. You know, police misconduct is clearly out of control, even though it's better than it has been for 50 years. And the black community both suffers and inflicts suffering at higher rates. Now, I read this morning an interesting article on Reason that sort of counters the claims, these talks, and I thought this was interesting enough. I wanted to share this with you. This is by Steve Chapman, and he brings up the problem with blaming black crime for police shootings, which is sort of what I've done here by talking about the numbers of black crimes compared to whites. And he's very critical of this. And he's basically saying this isn't just a theme of bigots and internet trolls. He was talking about how Rudy Giuliani said this. Rudy Giuliani said that black-on-black crime is the reason for the heavy police presence in the black community. So why don't they cut it down so many white police officers don't have to be in black areas? Now, Chapman was very critical of this. He says, in this view, African Americans have only themselves to blame for the presence and behavior of cops in their neighborhoods. Now, Chapman says there's an element of truth to this line of argument. Violent crime rates are far higher among blacks than among whites and other groups. One reason cops have a disproportionate number of interactions with African-American males is that these men commit a disproportionate number of offenses. But, listen to this. Where the argument fails, Chapman says, is in its assumption that blacks are complacent about these realities and that whites are blameless. The gist of the message is that blacks created the problem and blacks need to solve it. Now, Chapman goes on to talk about a Time magazine article in 1958 and how there was reporting that the biggest and most worrisome problem is the crime rate among Negroes. This was in 1958. and Chapman says that the common impulse of whites is to blame blacks for pathologies that whites played a central role in creating. Criminologist Charles Silberman wrote in 1978, "It would be hard to imagine an environment better calculated to evoke violence than the one in which black Americans have lived. Pretending black crime is a black-created problem is like pretending New Orleans never got hit by a hurricane." Now, I need to go on to the most important part here before I start rebutting some of what Chapman said here, and then I can start debunking some of what he's saying here as well. Now, this is the problems with the crime statistics. Now, crime and poverty, they create a vicious cycle. You know, black children who are afflicted with these disadvantages, they take the wrong path as teens, adults. You know, they don't have families. There's a lot of problems that we have with the black population that have to do with the issues of the black father. Now, the epidemic of unarmed blacks being killed by police comes not when black crime is high, but when it is low. Homicides committed by African Americans declined by half between 1991 and 2008. Since the early 1990s, arrests of black juveniles have plunged by more than half. In New York City, where Eric Garner was killed by police, the rate of homicides by blacks is down by 80%. In Chicago, where most murders are committed by African Americans, the number was the lowest since 1965, and this year's could be lower yet. Now, here is the problem with Chapman's reasoning on this. When he argues that white officer or police officers killing African Americans is at an all-time high, and then says that homicides have declined since 1991 to 2008, he's basically, he does, I don't think that Chapman understands that it's very simple to draw a correlation to assume that blacks being killed by cops is keeping down black crime. Because what he's saying here is that we have a problem, an epidemic of blacks being killed by police, and blacks' homicide rates are at an all-time low. So essentially what Chapman is kind of arguing here, without even meaning to, is he's basically positing, in a sense, not directly or implicitly, he's positing that when he's basically correlating that killing more black people results in less homicides. Or, you know, causation is not correlation, obviously. And the audience of the Freedom Report knows this because we talk about this quite a bit. But the problem with Chapman's article here in Reason is that when he shows these numbers, he's forgetting that he's basically, you know, that people are going to draw this kind of conclusion. A racist will definitely draw that conclusion. So I definitely think that Chapman's article is debunked here simply for that one point. But when he talks about the fact that, you know, the black families, that there's no fathers, and that, you know, then I think he's on the right path. But again, that isn't the kind of thing where we can just say, hey, you know, here's the numbers, let's solve this problem. Here's why black fathers aren't sticking around. That's a cultural problem that I don't think whites can even solve. So when Chapman says, you know, whites cause the problems, whites are causing these problems that the black people are suffering from, well, you have to answer the question, how are white people causing black fathers to flee? What? If I could answer that question, it would probably be that all these white women and liberal males are voting for social welfare programs that give no incentive for fathers to stick for men to stick around and be fathers. I don't know if that's a black issue or not. I know that that the numbers are not good when it comes to how many fathers stick around in the black community, but it's not so good for the white community either. So we have to be objective about these things when we're talking about issues of race, because if we're going to solve the problems, we've got to dig ourselves out of our positions and, again, try and be objective. I want to bring up an article to your attention because I think, again, it's very important in the topic, the context of what we're discussing here, because there's a new poll that comes from Bloomberg Politics, which shows that most Americans are seeing race relations worsening since Obama's election. You know, we were all told that Obama basically was going to lead us to this post-racial society, but, you know, with Trayvon Martin and Eric Garner and Ferguson and these protests and violence, I think it's pretty safe to say that race relations have probably gotten worse. This is by Julie Bykowitz, and she says that President Obama had hoped his historic election would ease race relations, yet a majority of Americans, 53%, say the interactions between the white and black communities have deteriorated since he took office, according to a new Bloomberg Politics poll. So these divisions are laid bare in the split reactions to the decisions by two grand juries not to indict white police officers who killed unarmed black men in Ferguson, Missouri, and Staten Island, New York. So both times, protesters responded with outrage and politicians called for federal investigations, yet Americans don't think of the cases as a matched set of injustices, the poll found. A majority agreed with the Ferguson decision, while most objected to the conclusion in the Staten Island death, which was captured on video. So these divergent opinions, there was 52% of people agreed on Ferguson, compared with 25% who approved of the Staten Island outcome. So Garner, you know, if you've seen the video, it's horrific. It's a horror show. He's saying, I can't breathe. And he died of a heart attack in what the medical examiner ruled as a homicide. Yes, Eric Garner's death was ruled a homicide. And, you know, the difference between these two things is, you know, one was captured on video probably and the other one wasn't. So maybe that would have changed public decision. Now, the decision in Ferguson showed that out of the answers by race, listen to this. This was the question they asked. A grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri decided not to bring criminal charges against a white police officer in the shooting of an unarmed black teenager last summer. And if they were asked, do they agree or do they disagree? Obviously, if you break it down in terms of color, you know, the white people, they agree strongly. The black people disagree strongly. So we've got a major divide here. 39% of white people agree strongly with the decisions, and 71% of black people strongly disagree with decisions. So we have a major difference in opinion between whites and blacks. And this is the issue. The race relations here are the issue. The difference in opinions are the issue. Now, are these people having these opinions because they probably see themselves as part of a tribe? Probably. Don't we all sort of feel like part of the tribe, you know? The white dudes, the Asian dudes, the black dudes, the Korean dudes, you know, or whatever. Everybody sort of wants to feel like they're part of a tribe. So a lot of these people may be answering this way just because they want to, you know? And polls are always, you know, horrendously bad. So just remember when you listen to a poll that a lot of times the way that you ask the question will totally frame it does totally frame the debate, and I think that it's unfair to base your opinion, or it's pretty stupid to base your opinion on a poll. So don't ever base your opinions on polls, ladies and gentlemen, because again, you never know what the pollster is thinking when they commission these things. But, you know, I want to talk about the president here. I want to talk about his mindset. Do I think that the president is a racist? Probably. And the reason is that I think that we all are probably a little bit racist. We all probably have that natural fear of the others. It's probably rooted in us. We know that it's irrational, but we all tend to have this, again, this fear of the other. And so when I say, is the president a racist? You know, or if I ask the question, is the president a racist? I'm saying that not because I think necessarily that he's any more racist than anyone else, but I think that, you know, knowing that his constituency thrives on this issue, that yes, that probably Democrats are more racist than Republicans in the way, whereas with Republicans or with conservatives or with, you know, neo-Nazis or, you know, right-wing Looney Tunes who are racist, for them, you know, seeing a black president is what's, you know, drives them as rage. They're directly racist. A lot of Democrats, they aren't racist in the conventional sense where they, you know, maybe they don't like black people or they're, you know, they hate, you know, Asians. You know, Mayor Marion Barry of Washington, D.C., who just died, he got in big trouble. You know, he's a black guy who, you know, he got in big trouble for calling Chinese shops dirty, you know, referring to the dirty Chinese, you know, and all that. So yeah, you know, blacks can be directly racist in the conventional sense that we think of. But I think the president and his cronies are racist in a different way. I don't think it's necessarily they hate whites. There's a lot of whites on the team. But I think that they're racist in the sense that they use racial policies to divide the country in order to inflame their electorate and so that they can win victories and so that they can seem like heroes. And they're not actually trying to solve the problems of racism. They're stoking the flames of racism. They're encouraging racism. Racism is continued by the social democrat policies, who aren't racist in the sense that they hate, you know, the conventional sense, like I just explained, but they're racist in that they want to get votes. They want to get donations. They want to get dollars. They want to play the race card. People like Al Sharpton want to play the race card so that it gives them an advantage. They want to pass laws like affirmative action, not because they're racist in the conventional sense, but because they think that it's going to get them elected. So again, what are the problems that we have in this country is that we can't discuss these things because it's politically incorrect. You know, the title of this podcast is Obama a Racist. That's going to get people pretty mad. But I want people to listen to this show, one, and not just get my base excited and I'll stoke the flames, but I want to provoke a discussion about these issues in an objective way by asking the question, is Obama a racist? Do I think he is? Absolutely. And why do I think he is? Because of the types of policies that he supports, because of the way he uses racial tensions to advance his agenda. Not so much as Al Sharpton, perhaps, but he's got to be a little bit more diplomatic because he's the president of the United States. He can't be like Al Sharpton and go out there and lie in the same way. You know, this president's lies are always much more subtle. But the problems of racism in the United States are not going to be solved until we can have a discussion that is probably going to be termed politically incorrect. I mean, how can I, as a white person, when they say, when you want to address the problems of the black community, you know, as a white person, I either have to have the opinion of the black community, which it looks is totally against what the white community believes. I either have to have their opinion or I am on the opposite. You know, it's everybody's got a black or white thing. Well, let me tell you my opinion about the Officer Darren Wilson case and the case of Ferguson. I actually was split between the two. I thought that, again, that the killing of Eric Garner was a homicide. It was a crime. It should have at least been manslaughter, like Judge Andrew Napolitano at Fox News said. I agree with him. It should have been a trial of manslaughter for that officer who he did use an arm choke, which was banned by the police. So that, to me, should have indicated a crime. But when it came to Officer Darren Wilson, from what I read and from what I understand of the grand jury testimony, not having any video to go on here, it sounds as if it was a justified killing. Now, someone might say, Austin, you SOB. People are already saying this. There's this weird Hispanic dude from California who was like, Austin, do you even call yourself a libertarian anymore? Blah, blah, blah. Well, why? Because I think people ought to be able to engage in self-defense. And someone's like, well, he's an unarmed black teenager. Well, let me just tell you something about what it's like to fight unarmed. Because I fight unarmed all the time. I do martial arts. I know what it's like to come into contact with someone who is unarmed. And let me just tell you, people can break your neck. They can easily kill you without having to pull a weapon on you or shoot you with a gun. I think it's a red herring to use the argument of saying someone, oh, they were unarmed. Well, why didn't they just use a taser? Well, the officer apparently didn't have a taser, or he couldn't deploy it because from what we read of the grand jury testimony in the case against Officer Wilson, Mike Brown was reaching for his gun. Mike Brown was reaching for Officer Wilson's gun. So he was unarmed, but he might not have been if he had gotten Officer Wilson's gun. So being objective on this, everybody hates me. Yay, libertarians hate me, and conservatives hate me, and Democrats hate me, so everybody hates me, but that's what I get for thinking for myself. You know, if you think for yourself, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to be popular. And I could rant about that for a long time. You know, Tom Woods always makes this funny joke. If you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh or else they'll kill you. And that is so true. Not that libertarians have as much of a sense of humor. Although if you're listening to my podcast, you probably are the one of the 100,000 libertarians of the millions who actually do have a sense of humor and can detect sarcasm. But for the rest of us, I think somebody did a poll of libertarians and they scored very low on the empathy scale. So I'm not having much high hopes that we're going to get libertarians empathizing or feeling sympathy or having an understanding of sarcasm anytime in the near future. Again, present company excluded, you, my audience, my beautiful people. You are obviously all smart and wonderful and perfect in every single way. And please subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Thank you, by the way. The problems of racism in America, it's too much of a blanket issue to really cover entirely. And to say, oh, from end to end, oh, we're in a racist society. Remember, another thing that the Democrats don't like to talk about, the Democrats are the party of racism, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that? Historically, the Democrats have always been the racist party. They were all the way back. They were the racist Democrats who were always the ones who were, they formed the Ku Klux Klan. Those were Democrats. The founder of the Ku Klux Klan, Nathan Bedford Forrest, allegedly, it's actually sort of in up for grabs whether or not he was the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. But he was a member, and, he was a Democrat. And Democrats throughout history, ever since the founding of that party, have been the party of slavery. So they try and paint Republicans, as being, the party of racism whatsoever, or the party of old white men. And in many ways, that is a party of old white men. But that doesn't change the fact that the history of racism is deeply embedded in the Democratic Party. And when you look at the history of the Republican Party, Abraham Lincoln, remember? Free the slaves. So it's going to make a lot of libertarians angry when I say that. But, Abraham Lincoln did a pretty good job freeing the slaves. So, bringing on Lou Rockwell, Tom Woods, and crazy anarcho-Confederates, of which there are quite a few, apparently. One time I got an angry email last year from a man who says he was a Confederate-supporting anarcho-capitalist, which is just bonkers. But there really are. There's a constituency, I think, there's probably 4,000 or 5,000 people out there who say that they are anarchists, but they support the Confederacy. So, what the hell? How in the hell are we going to have important discussions about race when nobody even knows what the hell they're talking about? And that's the problem, is a lot of times you're listening to people, ladies and gentlemen, that don't know what the hell they're talking about. If I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, I shut up. I won't do a podcast about a topic that I don't really understand, or I'll bring a guest on to help me understand and ask them questions. But not everybody else, man. Everybody's got an opinion, and they sure as hell are going to bring it to you. But you listen to this show because you know that I'm backing up my opinions with objective facts. That's why I went out there and got the statistics that I brought to you in the beginning. That's why I'm bringing this poll to you, and that's also why I'm telling you that polls are BS, so be careful what you believe from them. And I wanted to play the president's own words for you in context because, President Obama is obviously concerned about the plight of the African people, African Americans. He's obviously concerned, and he wants to do what he can for it. But I don't think the president is helping race relations, because very rarely, or almost never, have I ever heard him address some of these problems of violence in the black community. Now, Mr. Chapman over at Reason, from the article that I wrote, says that he seems to intimate that whites are responsible for blacks being violent. Well, are whites responsible for black fathers not sticking around? That's a question that you have to answer. I don't know the answer to this, by the way. I don't have the solution to these problems. All I'm trying to do is set up an honest debate. But if anybody tells you that they've got the solutions to these problems, you ought to be real skeptical. If I offer you a solution, you can be sure that I'm going to back it up by facts. The one solution that I think is going to help solve some of these problems of police abuse is more body cameras. And the reason why is because, look, the difference of opinion between what happened with Eric Garner and Mike Brown is that in one case we have video, and in the other case we don't. We have to rely on eyewitness testimony as well as forensic evidence. So I think that more body cameras on police are going to help. That's the solution that I can offer to you right now, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think about this issue? Do you think that Obama is a racist? Do you think, who's more racist? Do you think I'm a racist? Everybody's racist! All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and take you out on this one. I appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you for subscribing to Freedom Report. If you haven't already, please go leave us a good review. 5-star review on Amazon, or excuse me, on iTunes. I saw somebody did that last week, and I thank you. Thanks for listening to Freedom Report Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Please do me a favor, go to libertarianrepublic.com every single day, because we are your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com.